It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski here once again. We are looking at the Big Ten. You know, we've discussed Penn State, App State in a lot of different ways. We're going to look ahead to Penn State Pitt in the second half of this show. But really just looking now around the league and the storylines that you need to know about and try to find, you know, a pecking order, any kind of clue as to how this Big Ten race is going to unfold. A segment brought to you by Labatt Blue, where you are encouraged to bleed blue and white and drink blue and light.
There you go.
Just an excuse to get that in there. Labatt Blue beer. Let's start this conversation, I think, with Maryland for the second year in a row, beating Texas, this time, I believe, at home. 34-29, there was a weather delay there. Not as unexpected this go-around as it was last go-around in some respects, just because they did it before. Texas, a ranked team. Maryland going through everything they were going through. DJ Durkin not on the sideline in that one. They still find a way to get it done. What does it mean for Maryland? What does it mean for the state of the Big Ten? You know, Maryland has done a really good job recruiting over the last, three cycles or so. So I don't think this is a roster that is down in the dumps by any means. I think that Maryland, if they can sustain this and stay healthy, I think there might be something to it.
Well, I think that Texas, yet again, is not as good as they were either made out to be, thought to be, ranked as. You know, I watched a little bit of that game, and we listened to it on the radio while driving up to State College for Penn State App State, and I just don't think Texas is very good. And you know what it reminded me of a little bit? It reminded me a little bit of Michigan, where you keep expecting the next big play to finally come around the corner, and that will win them the game, and it never does. So, I don't know. Good win for Maryland. We'll see how long their quarterbacks stay healthy this year.
Not a great week for Tom Herman, was it?
No.
Yeah.
And the Longhorns head coach to be linked to anything happening at Ohio State off the field and then on the field to go to Maryland and lose. I kind of look at this, though, as much like App State in week one. I'm not so sure Maryland can sustain that level of play all the way through. It was a very emotional game for them as they lined up with 10 players to start with Jordan McNair not there. You know, kudos to them to really for pulling through and winning the game. App State, you know, Penn State fans will probably tout App State all year long. I wouldn't look for App State to play anywhere near they played against Penn State. I said it leading up to the game. That was basically their game of the year. They had the entire offseason to prep for it. They were ready to go. There's nobody else on their schedule that's going to make any kind of splash nationally, including probably a bowl game at the end of the year. So App State made their statement for the year. I hope for Maryland's sake that that's not their only statement of the year. Kasim Hill, they got some playmakers that never can stay healthy at quarterback. So we'll see. We'll see if they can stay healthy again. They're at Bowling Green, I guess, this week. So we'll see if they have an emotional letdown with that. But I really don't look for them to make much noise in the division. They may put a scare into a few teams, but that was certainly a great way to start.
You'll start to learn a little bit. So Maryland, Bowling Green, Temple, Minnesota over the next 3 weeks. I wouldn't expect any losses from those games. Then a bye week, October 6th, they go to Michigan. So you'll start to learn a little bit more about Maryland as we go along here. But a good win, you don't want to take away from it. They've been through a lot this offseason, a lot of players who didn't have anything to do with anything. You know, that theme sounds familiar in this area too, you know, where the players kind of they came out and they played a good game.
And you said DJ Durkin not on the sidelines. I'm not so sure he's going to be back on the sidelines for that program. So Matt
I can't
Canada,
believe he hasn't been fired yet.
Yeah,
I mean, what are they waiting for? Is there an invitation that needs to be sent?
Was it September 15th or something like that? There's a date set for the release of their investigation, and I fully expect Durkin to not be back. And especially, it doesn't help his cause if Canada's going to keep winning. I would hope they don't take that into consideration, but you never know.
Good opportunity here for Matt Canada, who's bounced around a good bit. Penn State fans should be familiar with him, calling plays. Well, it was back in the 2016 game.
Yeah, I wonder where he'll be next year. Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh and then LSU, now at Maryland, so he'll be somewhere else next year.
I'll tell you what, if this unfolds how Todd thinks it's going to unfold, I snuck that in casual that time, that there's an opportunity maybe to have that interim and transition to a full-time head coaching job down there. But first things first, good win over Texas. Michigan, not quite as encouraging a performance on the road at Notre Dame. It's a tough matchup, tough environment at night. But I still think the Wolverines fell a little bit flat. They managed to hang around even though that Notre Dame was kind of in command a lot of that game. 24-17, the final. I'm not sure what's changed with Michigan, you know, and I think every loss like this that they accumulate kind of ups the pressure a little bit. But offensively, you know, watching that game in the first half or three quarters, not until they had their backs up against the wall did they really start to make use of Shea Patterson. I'm just not sure what their identity is offensively, and if it's going to be built around, you know, having two tight ends and two fullbacks and just plowing ahead old school football style, I don't know if that's they've got the right personnel for that. It's going to be really interesting to see how it goes moving forward.
Well, what do you bring in a quarterback to run your system, or do you change your system to cater to the strengths of the quarterback? You know, Jim Harbaugh is stubborn and appears to be stubborn in this situation and late to change any kind of things, you know, any kind of game plan with Shea Patterson. I mean, it just amazes me. They had him the entire camp, right? He's been in Ann Arbor the whole time. And then, so this shouldn't have been a surprise that, you know, look, the guy is mobile. He can do things with his feet. He can get out of the pocket and make plays. And they sit him back there and hand the ball off and make him throw from the pocket. So, you know, Harbaugh's been very unimpressive in his time frame at Michigan so far. And even when he does the play calling against Penn State and you watch a play, you're like,
yeah.
Well, you know, it seems to get off track. You know, something works and then he gets away from it. So I don't know. I mean, I'd be really concerned if I'm a Wolverines fan watching what's going on, not just the way that they're losing or who they're losing to, but it just doesn't seem, like you said, Dustin, they just don't have much of an identity, and now they have the quarterback to get it done. That schedule doesn't get any easier. That is a brutal schedule that they got to go on the road at Ohio State and Michigan State.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't know. It's more the same from Jim Harbaugh, and their offensive line stinks, so that doesn't help. You can get a new car, but if you just leave old parts in it, it's not really going to matter.
And I was wondering where you're going with
yeah,
the car.
I started it, and then I didn't really know how I was going to close that. No, look, I mean, you watch that game. Notre Dame's defense is very good. I don't think it's as good as Michigan made it look on Saturday night. I mean, Shea Patterson does outperform Brandon Wimbush a bit, but guess what? Shea Patterson also made some critical mistakes that led directly to Notre Dame points. So, I don't know. Yet again, I think you're right, Todd. It looked just like another typical Michigan effort under Jim Harbaugh. Just boring, not interesting, vanilla. And their offensive line isn't any good. This team's going nowhere quick.
We'll see. I mean, when the dust all settles here, we'll see if this is premature or not. The number floating around, though, 17 consecutive road losses to ranked teams for Michigan. I mean, I understand different rosters and all that kind of thing, but at some point in time, you got to win a big game if you're really going to be if you're going to meet what your reputation is, and it just hasn't happened for Michigan yet. They got Western Michigan, SMU, Nebraska at home before they go to Northwestern, and really the second half of the year, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State, and then Ohio State to wrap it up. We're going to start to learn about Michigan also. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking at the Big Ten schedule from week one and looking ahead to week two as well, brought to you in part by GoPSURV.com, where they got a special Keystone Sports RV complete with all kinds of products that we've talked about on this show before. 409 Tailgate Club barbecue sauces, tailgate wine, Labatt Blue beer, and a catered barbecue meal from the 409 guys. If you pay a little extra, Greg will sleep in the RV with you. So be sure to check that out.
I am not doing a Harbaugh sleeping over. No.
You can be Quinn Nardine. Greg can be Jim Harbaugh. Check it out. Go PSURV.com. Some of that's true anyway. Go PSURV.com. Penn State, not the only team with a lot of expectations that played a little closer than you'd like. Michigan State, 38-31 over Utah State at home. They have a history, not looking back at specific games, but of having some close calls in season opening games. And I think it is another opportunity to say, you know what, these teams have things to sort out. I don't care how good they are. The point of the matter is, and the same applies for Penn State, you go 1-0, you beat a decent team, you live to see another week. As long as you do that, your championship hope and that window stays open.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think that's the tricky thing with the non-conference. See, there's a lot of people out there that are upset that Penn State scheduled Villanova and Delaware for non-conference play in future years. And look, I'll be honest, if I'm still doing this same job, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now when those games are played, I'm not going to be interested in those games. And the fan base probably won't be either. But you see some of these teams that schedule games and they're very, very good opponents. And then you get into a situation like Penn State was where you've really got to grind to win.
Well, I think the Big Ten has a couple of questions in front of them, and I don't think they're going to change. But the one was division realignment as the East continues to look stacked and stacked. And, you know, everybody in the conference headquarters is rooting for Scott Frost in Nebraska to make, you know, to make some headway in the Western Division for somebody to step up and challenge Wisconsin. And then the 9-game conference schedule, it costs you big neutral site opening games. And so, you know, look, while LSU's playing Miami and Alabama's playing their old neutral site in the South game with Louisville without Lamar Jackson, you know, Penn State is playing App State and, you know, Michigan State's playing Utah State and those types of teams. So, you know, the Big Ten, it takes a little while to get some momentum going. And you know what I mean? As they get into the season, and once they do, then those big division games that are rolling in November, while the SEC takes a week off with Mercer, whoever they schedule, is kind of the way it goes. And as you mentioned, especially with Penn State, Michigan State maybe in the same situation, a lot of young guys that are rotating into the lineup that you got to figure out what they can do on the football field. And it almost seemed like they were trying to get the rotation going in the first half to kind of feel out, okay, who can play, as opposed to going with their set guys, get the lead, and then put in your rotation guys. But, you know, so we'll see what happens with Michigan State, very much like that. The game that I was interested in was Illinois and Kent State, considering those are the next two opponents playing head-to-head for the Nittany Lions and the Fighting Illini. Boy, they pulled out a Donnybrook, didn't they, over the Flashes.
Boy, you go from Lovie Smith is getting fired. They're down, what, 17-3, I believe, at the half, and they win 31-24.
He should still be fired, by the way.
I think that's inevitable. One other game to kind of kick off the year Thursday night, Purdue loses to Northwestern 31-27. Good win for Northwestern. But Rondale Moore ended up being the story in that game. True freshman for Purdue, one of the gets on the recruiting trail you're starting to see pretty early. I don't know if any of that factors into the East-West and bulking up the Western Division, but the fact that Purdue's getting players, they're well-coached, it'll be interesting to see them over the next couple years. Rondale Moore, a name to watch. Northwestern still gets the win. I'm curious to see how Northwestern continues its season. They get Michigan at home on September 29th. Can they make some noise, and can they sustain it for 12 games? Big questions. All right, moving on. Jerry DiPaolo from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review joins us in just a moment to talk Penn State Pitt.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer, hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using an old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football. It just doesn't get any better than that. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-I-S brats.com.